Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Today we're celebrating a young man's entrepreneurship. Justin Gilliam works at Arnold Air Force Base in Tullahoma. When he can, he takes classes at MTSU. As he is able to work and get enough money, he comes back for a semester or two, then he goes back to work, then he works constantly, but he takes classes as he can. And in his spare time, what little there is of it, he creates BurrowBid.com along with his partner Jared Shreve. It's an online auction site where people in the Rutherford County, Murfreesboro area can go to post things that they would like to sell. And Justin's here today to talk with us about it. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you.
How is BurrowBid a lot like eBay and different from eBay?
It's a lot like eBay in the sense of everything's on there as an auction. You can buy it now or you can bid back and forth against other people for those items. It's different from eBay because it's here locally just in Tennessee. Everything bought and sold on there is from Tennessee. And also, you don't have to pay to list items on there. If you list an item and no one buys it, then you don't owe anything. So there's not much loss besides the time you spent listing it.
So is that true of eBay too or not true of
eBay? No, that's not true of eBay there. If you list an item on eBay, you have to pay.
Now, regardless of where you are, you don't have to be obviously in Rutherford County, since anyone who can access the internet can access BurrowBid. So if you are from out of state or out of the country, you see something you like, you can still buy it, right?
You can still buy it, yes. I do limit the amount of people or the people that can sign up, though. If they sign up and they're from out of state, I'll let them know it's just for the Tennessee residents. So that way it kind of limits it just to Tennessee.
Now, what about shipping charges? How does that get worked out if someone buys something that they see on BurrowBid?
In that sense, it's still similar to eBay as far as it's the seller's discretion as to how much to charge for shipping. But you do know that it's going just inside the state of Tennessee, so all shipping charges are going to be as cheap as it would be just to ship in the state. So.
But it's up to the seller to choose whether they go through the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, whatever.
Right, right.
Okay.
Or local pickup. Most items have actual local pickup only, which is a big plus because you don't have to pay an extra shipping fee when you can just drive down the street and pick it up yourself.
Well, that's good too. But you don't have to be in Rutherford County. Even
though
it says BurrowBid on it. If I live in Tullahoma and I want to buy something from somebody in Laverne, I can still do that.
Correct. Okay. Memphis, Chattanooga, yeah. Knoxville, wherever.
Now, what sorts of items do you have posted on BurrowBid?
Just about anything you can think of, actually. We have some spices a lady listed on there the other day. And actually someone listed just old scrap wood from a barn. So anything in between you could list.
Now, as we speak, that wood from the barn, there is only one day left on it. It'll be gone by the time this program airs on Sunday. But somebody's going to get a bargain because right now the highest bid is $1,000 and the price listed is for $7,000 worth of barn wood. So somebody is going to really clean up.
Correct. If no one buys it, though. There's an option to relist if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
So if no one bought the barn and the seller decided they want to relist it,
mm-hmm.
they can just go ahead and relist it again and see if someone buys it again.
Right. So if the seller does not want to take the $1,000 bid, if he just does not want to let his wood go for that price, he can choose to say, sorry, pal, I'm relisting. And, you know, they can either bring down the price a little bit or, but it's all totally up to the seller's
Correct.
Discretion.
Again. Yes. Yeah. If you can set a reserve on the seller or the item you're listing, you can set a reserve on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't meet that, then it doesn't get sold, basically.
Now, I checked your stats, and the latest stats as we tape today, you have 76 regular users, 65 live auctions, 2 active stores, and 7 online users. Now, define those categories for us for people who are not accustomed to buying and selling online or going to online auction sites.
The 76 registered members, that's people that actually typed in their information. They signed up for, had their username, password, and all their address and email addresses and everything stored in the servers. The auctions, the 60-some-odd auctions we have on there now, is just, like I said, individual auctions that people have listed out there for sale. The 2 stores, you can set up a store. You can purchase a store just like eBay. You can set up a store and list items in that store. And any item in that store that sells, you don't pay a final sales fee on. You just pay the monthly store fee. So if you're a storefront like selling multiple items, it's much more worth it to buy a store and list your items in that than it is to sell them individually.
Now, when you talk about a store, you're talking about a virtual store that is created by you. We're not talking about necessarily an established brick and mortar company that wants to sell their wares on your space.
Right, but a virtual store is kind of the same. You could, if you own a brick and mortar store and you wanted to sell stuff online, you can go ahead and set up your own virtual store on my website as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the sense, it's the same.
Okay, and 7 online users is just the number of users that happen to be on at that point in time.
Correct.
Okay. And I understand now you have Google Checkout. Is that equivalent to PayPal?
It is. Google Checkout is basically the exact same as PayPal. It's just the Google version of it. The fees are exactly the same. I've researched those. And so I just thought I'd give some people some more options. If they didn't have a PayPal account and they would prefer to go to Google, they could.
Do people get a break on the sales taxes by buying totally within the state as opposed to buying items from outside the state?
As far as I know, it's the same. There's really no sales tax involved.
Mm-hmm.
You could charge taxes if you'd like, but most people do not.
It looks like from the site that you have established a relationship with a woman who sells Mary Kay Cosmetics, and she's got several items listed on there. Tell me how that came about.
That's actually my sister.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. She lives out in Memphis, and she is a Mary Kay sales representative. So.
Did she buy an ad, or did you cut her some slack because she's your sister?
I cut her some slack because she is my sister, but I did put it out there as an advertisement for her, and she can list her products on there as well.
Now, talk about selling advertisements on this site. How do you have a rate card established for that?
There's not really a rate card there. It's kind of based off of the owner of the website's discretion. I don't have any type of rate card set up for the slots. Most of the time, it's just however much you want to charge. If what's a good rate? You can look around and see, but lots of websites don't have any set. This is the rate for this bar. This is the rate for this bar.
So whatever rate you set for someone who would want to buy an ad on BurrowBid.com would depend upon the size of the ad, basically.
Basically, yeah, the size of the ad. Right now, I've quoted some people some ad spaces, and at the top of the screen, I've quoted them about $200 for the year. Mm-hmm. For that's a full 12 months of your ad at the top of every page.
Mm-hmm.
On the sidebar, it's about $175 or so, just for the full year. And you could do it monthly, month at a time, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheaper to buy it in the year than it is to do month to month. But
can the people who buy ads on your site also buy through Google Checkout, or do you demand cash on the barrelhead?
No, that comes actually through PayPal or Google Checkout, same as the other. You can pay either way.
Okay. When do you find time to attend to the website? You're working at Arnold Air Force Base. You're going to school some semesters, and some semesters you're not. And then you have this going on. How do you juggle it?
It's a little tricky, actually, and I got a lot more than that going on, too. I'm getting married in October.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And we just purchased a house, actually, in Christiana.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot going on. But actually, the spare time in the afternoons after work, between I get home and supper, just kind of checking it in and out during that time.
Did you already know a lot about did you already have a lot of computer background insofar as knowing how to, the technical ins and outs of setting up your own website?
I did have some computer training, here at MTSU, and also I did attended full-time Tennessee Technology Center in Shelbyville, just a technical school, and I went there for computers, and I just kind of picked it up as I went to school and reading online articles and stuff like that. But as far as computer work goes, that's what I do for a living at Arnold Air Force Base. So I did have a pretty strong computer background before I went into this.
So you can write code. You're conversant with HTTP.
Somewhat, yes. I went to school in 2005, so it's kind of changed since then. But
oh, boy. Oh, my. Has it ever. What made you think that the market would support an endeavor like this?
I really didn't think it would. I just kind of hoped it would.
Mm-hmm.
I went into it thinking, it's some extra money on the side. I got a lot going on in my life, so any extra money could help. And my dad actually was the one that gave me the idea, kind of. He wanted me to list some items for him on eBay, just to see what he could get for them. But I told him you'd have to pay no matter if anyone bought them or not. And he said, well, just forget that then, because he didn't want to pay if no one bought them. So that gave me an idea of listing it where if no one buys it, then you don't have to pay anything for it.
Do you know of any other sites like this, any other online auction sites that have that enticement?
Not that I know of. Well, actually, I take that back. There are some out there that say you don't have to pay to list. And that's true in the sites that you don't have to pay to list the items. But I'm not really sure if you have to pay any type of other fee, you know, other than end of auction fee or main page fee or anything like that.
Now, you set it up with your partner, Jared Shreve. Are you splitting profits with him?
We were originally. He kind of had the idea of doing an online auction website. And then I got the idea of my dad to do the don't pay him if it doesn't sell. Mm-hmm. But since then, he's pulled out. So.
Okay. But we want to give him full credit since he did work with you on it. How do you determine, other than ad revenue, what your take is?
I kind of just based it off of other auction sites out there, looking up their rates and comparing them, and just kind of undermarking them by a few percent.
Okay. What, who did the, there's a logo on it. There's a professional logo on there. How did you design that yourself?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I designed that and put it up there myself.
Could you make other modifications to it over time? And is it pretty much secure? Do you think your customers can feel safe in putting their personal information on the site?
Yeah, actually, because the only personal information you provide to my website is your address and your name and your birthday and your email address.
Mm-hmm.
All your bank account information and your credit card information is handled through PayPal. Mm-hmm. So it's up to PayPal to secure that then.
Or Google.
Or Google Checkout,
Google
correct.
Google Checkout, yeah. What sorts of items would you like to see on the site in the future? And have you had any weird offers that you've had to turn down because of prurient interest or whatever reasons?
We haven't had any weird offers yet. We did actually have some people sign up from India.
Oh, yeah?
And then list a wanted ad for some computer technicians and stuff. And I took that down just because I told them it was locally in Tennessee, you know, not overseas or anything like that.
Sounds a little dicey anyway.
Yeah, I just wondered how I even found out about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I removed them, but other than that, I haven't had any weird offers or anything. As far as items I'd like to see in the future, anything can go. I mean, anything that's legally able to be sold is fine on that website. So.
Is your wife as well-versed in computer technology as you are? Wife-to-be, I should say.
Not really, no, but that's what she's got me for.
Okay. So she won't be administering the site?
No.
Or helping you with any of that?
She might help me with what looks pretty.
Go and get her out there to beat the bushes and sell some ads for you.
Yeah.
She could do that.
Yeah, she has been telling some people at her place of work. But.
I have seen a word about Burrowbid on the Daily News Journal and also mentioned in the Murfreesboro Post, so the word does seem to be getting around. Have you gotten any feedback from either customers or people who have just seen the site while they were surfing?
I have gotten some feedback from a few people. They had emailed me saying that it was a good idea because lots of times, you know, people don't like to pay to list their items if they're not going to get money for it. And so they'll go to other sites like Craigslist, which is all free. But with Craigslist, you have to constantly relist your item to keep it up towards the top because there are so many people out there just spamming, putting more items out there, you know, duplicate items out there. And also with Craigslist, if you put your email address on there, I mean, you might as well count on 5 or 6 spam emails coming into your inbox. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've made that mistake before and listed some items on Craigslist and had my personal email address out there. And it's just inundated with spam emails.
And Craigslist has also run into trouble with some people making some very weird connections, let's say. Connections
right.
that maybe they're inappropriate for children or getting people in trouble that they didn't want to get into.
Correct, yeah. So as far as that goes, people were thankful that there was an easier way to list stuff for free.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of it being local was a pretty good idea. That's what I've been told. Just because, I mean, like you said, you can drive to see that item before you pay for it if you like, or you can just even go pick it up if you like. So,
do you think folks in Rutherford County prefer dealing with somebody who is local in that they figure, even though they don't know Justin Gilliam personally, they know he lives in the county, they know he lives in Christiana. He goes to MTSU part-time, works in a neighboring county, Coffee County, that they might be more inclined to trust you, even though they don't know you personally, never met you, than somebody who lives farther away.
I would think so. I mean, I personally would trust an individual over a company, a big, you know, corporate company, just because you're easier to contact, you're easier to talk to them, you know, and you're talking to the owner of the site rather than someone that's being paid hourly to work for them.
If somebody emails you at BoroughBid, how quickly can you get back to them and say if they've got a question, how quickly can you respond to their question or their concern?
It just depends on if I'm at work or not, but pretty quickly. I mean, I get it on my cell phone as well, so I try to respond as quick as I can to them.
Right. And now, since you work at a military installation, you can't use military equipment to respond to their email, but like you said, you have your cell phone.
Correct, yes, ma'am.
And you can do it while you're in your car, on your lunch break, or right after you get off work. So it shouldn't be too much longer before you actually get back to them.
Correct. I mean, yeah, it's definitely the same day, if not the same hour.
Mm-hmm. So since you are your sole technological support, your sole customer service office, do you feel that that's a lot of pressure on you? Or do you like being, you know, your own boss, being able to make your own rules, call your own shots?
I like that aspect of it. It is a lot to worry about. Like, if something was to happen to the website, I would feel solely responsible, you know. So it's a lot on your shoulders as, man, I've got to get this back up. You know, I've got to hurry up and get this email replied to because they're waiting on me. But I like it, though. It is very different than working a, you know, 40-hour-a-week job for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's definitely not to the point where I could live off of it yet, but
right.
It's much, I like it much better than a full 40-hour work week.
Does your father own his own business?
No, he does not.
You mentioned him earlier. I was just wondering if there were any people who own their own businesses that you saw as a kind of role model for how you'd want to run your own business if you had one.
No, I mean, as far as running my own business and the way I want to run it, if I was to own a full business later on in life, it would be just like I was raised. I mean, Southern hospitality, you know, it be kind to each other because, you know, you want someone to be kind to you.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I have the only other person I know that actually owns their business is Jared Shreve's father.
Yeah.
He owns Jimmy's Bowtie Supply in Shelbyville.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of saw that as that's really cool. You know, he owns his own business, works for himself, you know. I'd like to do that someday, you know.
It seems like it's getting harder and harder to survive owning your own small business. You mentioned corporations earlier, and I think people are – mistrust of corporations is growing and growing exponentially, especially since none of the corporate criminals have yet been forced to do the perp walk other than Bernie Madoff. When you put something up like this, do you have any advice? Well, I'm going to split this in two parts. First, do you have any advice for the people who are posting their items as to how they should do it, what they should think about when they're trying to describe it, when they're trying to take a picture of it, any of that? And then secondly, do you have any advice for people trying to bid on it insofar as their strategy is concerned?
As far as the people that are listing the items to sell, basically in the description of the item, list it how you would want if someone to list an item that you were going to buy. Like if you were looking for something and you wanted to know this, this, and this about it, make sure whenever you're selling the item that you list, you know, this, this, and this. Just because it makes it easier on the buyer to know all the details up front rather than having to ask so many questions back and forth with the seller. And as far as the title of the actual auction goes, it needs to be descriptive, but it also needs to kind of be catchy as far as the way it's worded. You don't want to put printer when you have an HP DeskJet 3320 printer,
right.
You know.
Uh-huh.
You need to be descriptive in your actual listings. And as far as people going to bid on the items, basically if you want it and it doesn't have a reserve, you can bid just a penny over and you'll win it if it doesn't have a reserve. If it does have a reserve and you want it, you know, bid up to your amount that you want to legitimately spend. But don't go over that. You know, don't just think, maybe I should go a little bit more, maybe I should go a little bit more, if you really didn't want to spend that much, you know.
Now, what does it mean to have a reserve on an item?
If you were to list an item for sale and you didn't want to take any less than $20 for it, you can list that item and select reserve and then set $20 as the reserve and start the bidding at $1. Mm-hmm. And in the auction, it'll have a little red words that says reserve not met. And once you bid on the item, it'll say thank you for your bid, reserve still not met, if until you hit that $20 limit. And then it'll say thank you for your bid, you are the high bidder on the auction. And the reserve not met will go away.
Now, how much should someone who posts an item for sale tell the potential bidders about the extent to which it is, well, obviously if it's brand new, never been taken out of the package, that's a direct come on there. But if it's used, and a lot of these things are, how much should they tell the prospective bidders about the extent to which it's been used and the condition it's in?
You definitely want to make everything up front. If there was any type of dispute saying it was brand new and then they got it and it was used, that would be handled again through PayPal as far as getting the refunds back. But you definitely need to let people know, you know, if there's a dent in the door of a car, you need to, you know, make sure you have descriptive, you know, details in the actual description. And as far as pictures go, you can upload up to 10 pictures for free on each item, you know, so make sure you've got some descriptive photos as well. So a lot of people can tell more from looking at a photo than they can just from reading your text. Mm-hmm. So
shot from different angles if you have a particularly large item.
Correct.
So that people can see all from a lot of different perspectives what you're selling.
Right.
Would you anticipate that you might even post houses or property at some point?
At some point, I mean, if it was big enough, I would definitely do that. I mean, it's easy to suggest a category when you're looking in the categories for your item. If you don't see a category that matches any type of item that you're trying to list, you can always suggest different categories, and I get that as well. Mm-hmm. And once we get it approved, we can go ahead and just put an extra category up there for, like you said, property or houses or anything like that, real estate.
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of categories listed on BurrowBid.com. Is it possible that an item might fall into more than one category, or the poster might want their item listed in more than one category?
It is possible, and that is, you're able to do that as well. When you're listing the item, it'll ask you to select the main category. You select it, and then after that, you can select a secondary category, and you can select that as well.
So it could be anything from, like you said, you had barn wood. I can't even begin to figure out how you appraise barn wood, but then I wasn't raised on a farm. How does the person who is posting an item, what is the thought process that goes in trying to figure out how much it really is worth and how much they think they can get for it?
My recommendation would be just to go online, you know, do some research, look up other items, or look that item up that's for sale somewhere else. Say you're selling the barn, just Google barn wood for sale and see how much people are selling theirs for. That might be a little tricky with a barn wood, but any other item, just, you know, Google this item for sale and see what comes up and how much it's going for.
Yeah. And also, is the barn still together? Do you have to dismantle the barn? I mean, is it already been torn apart and stacked?
And as far as that auction goes, I'm pretty sure it's still intact according to the pictures. And it's obviously a local pickup only, you know. I'm thinking if you want that barn, you'd have to come there and actually pull the wood off the frame of the barn and take everything with you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do buy, in the southern counties I know, because that's where I'm from, a lot of people will buy older barn wood because it's, you know, a sturdier wood than lots of things that are manufactured nowadays. And they'll use it for anything from a ramp to a deck if you want. But
would you entertain a post about selling animals, anything from domesticated pets to large farm critters?
As far as online prices go, I'm not really sure if it's legal to sell live animals.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know about that myself. I was just curious.
I don't think it is. But if you wanted a live animal, you can always go to the wanted section of the website and list that you're looking for a cat or a dog. Mm-hmm. And people can contact you and then set up a meeting to, you know, swap animals or sell the animal. So.
Now, are there prices for wanted ads as well? Do you have a rate card for that?
If you want to put a wanted ad up there, it's completely free to list that as well.
Okay. Now, is there a particular fee that a person has to pay for being a regular user, or is that free too?
Yeah, it's free to sign up, and it's free to stay a member as long as you like. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, you don't have a heck of a lot of overhead since it's just you. I mean, you really don't have to buy anything to supplement this site or to keep it going and in good working order, right?
Correct. I mean, as far as overhead goes on the keeping the website up, you have a yearly, you know, website domain registry and the server, the hosting of the website with the servers, whether you go through GoDaddy or any type of hosting service like that, is a yearly fee. But as far as the maintenance of it goes, yeah, that's just me. So if I buy something to help with the software side, then that's a price I'd have to pay. But other than that, the only overhead is advertising.
How much is the domain registry fee?
It depends on who you go with, but $12 a year really is not really that bad.
No. Well,
the hosting itself is about $50 a year, but that's still a whole year's worth for $50 is not bad either.
That's chump change pretty much. I mean, you know, you could, if the bid was big enough, take care of that, which is one bid,
true,
one appropriate bid. If this thing takes off, do you think that you'll be able to keep on doing it? I mean, if you start getting hundreds of posts and hundreds of bids, are you still going to be able to administer the website and do your job and pay attention to your wife and maybe even get in a few more classes here at MTSU?
Yeah, I would like to think that I could handle it. I could always, you know, like I said, Jared Shreve pulled out of it because it wasn't really going anywhere off the bat. But I'm sure he would always gladly help out with me.
You have spices on there right now, which are they're probably the lowest price items, very reasonably priced. And your sister, when she posted prices for Mary Kay Cosmetics, now she's already working for Mary Kay, and they have specific prices listed for their items. So does she have to start at exactly what Mary Kay insists on selling the item for? I mean, if she doesn't, then she doesn't even break even, right?
Right. As far as those go, you can also list an item as a buy it now only. So it's really not an auction. Mm-hmm. It's more of a, here's an item, you can buy it if you want or not.
Yeah.
I think hers are mainly buyout auctions. Mm-hmm. So there's no bidding back and forth on the price of the actual item.
Okay. So it's just a straight transaction.
Correct.
As opposed to a bidding war.
Right.
I want this and I want that. And so
right.
Forth
it's
and
just,
so on.
If you want it, you buy it. If you don't, you don't. You know?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's an enterprising way for her to get the word out about her cosmetics. I mean, a lot of people are selling Mary Kay Cosmetics in the state of Tennessee.
Right.
This is just one more way she can, you know, promote herself and get her word up there about her business.
And instead of, like you said, going door to door and handing out a brochure, she can just tell people to check it out on, you know, BoroughBid and see what all I have out there.
Well, she can do that too, you know, at her leisure, or maybe host. I don't know if Mary Kay people host things at their house like Tupperware.
Mm-hmm. They do. They have Mary Kay parties.
They do.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe someday you'll actually be able to have a BoroughBid party.
Maybe.
You can invite all of the bidders and all of the posters and have one great big soiree to celebrate the success of your website.
Hopefully so.
Once again, anything that can be legally bought or sold in the state of Tennessee can be posted and or bid upon, and you don't have to be in Rutherford County to do it. It's at www.boroughbid.com. That's B-O-R-O, as in Murfreesboro, bid, BID.com. And if people have any questions about BoroughBid.com and how they go about it, because like me, because that's not really something I've done before. I've bought things off of Amazon.com, but I haven't really gotten into the online auction thing. For some people, it's an obsession. I mean, some people get addicted to it, don't they?
They do. Actually, I heard on the news the other day they were talking about, you know, auction websites being popular and it's starting, if it's possible to start an addiction like gambling. And some psychiatrists said that it wasn't possible to really be addicted to bidding back and forth, but some people might be different than others.
Mm-hmm. But some people spend more time on their computer than others, too.
Oh, that's true.
For some people, the computer is in and of itself an addiction. But if they want to find out more about BoroughBid.com, talk to you, ask you any questions, what do they need to do?
They can email me at admin@boroughbid.com. And that comes, like I said, straight to my cell phone every day. So,
Justin Gilliam, who is the co-founder of www.boroughbid.com and an occasional and, we hope once again very soon, MTSU student. We hope you complete your degree. Ultimately, it takes longer than others for some folks, especially non-traditional students who have a five-day-a-week job. And what is your major?
Information systems.
And you're originally from Decker, Tennessee. How old are you?
23.
And you'll be getting married when?
October 1st of this year.
October 1st. Mazel tov.
Thank you.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Join me again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com. And we're available on iTunes.